Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The scripture lessons are from Psalm 71, verses 1 through 6, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. Today's message is titled, Healing, Freeing Words. Psalm 71, beginning at the first verse. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I've relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Here ends the first reading, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because his message had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, You are the Son of God! But he rebuked them. And would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also. Because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A prayer from St. Jerome, the 4th century. Lord, thou hast given us thy word. For a light to shine upon our path, grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Last Sunday, we heard of Jesus in his hometown synagogue reading from Isaiah chapter 61, reading a passage that was known to be a messianic passage, known to be about the Messiah. Jesus read the words that were written 700 years earlier in a manner to clearly declare he is the Messiah the words were written about. For in that moment, in the Nazareth synagogue, the great fulfillment of those very words came to be. The words of Isaiah were about healing and proclaiming freedom. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Healing and proclaiming freedom. The fullness of Jesus' ministry is about both. Jesus heals and Jesus preaches, and they go hand in hand together. For as these words of Isaiah were fulfilled in Jesus, we would expect those very same words to come to pass in what Jesus does. That is what we hear in today's gospel from Luke chapter 4. Jesus leaves Nazareth. His childhood neighbors actually drove him out of town. Down to Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples go. Capernaum, the region of Galilee along the Sea of Galilee, is where Jesus walked, where he wandered for the vast majority of his ministry years was along that area. The day, it's the Sabbath. And so Jesus, as was his custom, would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. In the synagogue, Jesus, there in Capernaum, in the synagogue, Jesus began to teach in a manner different than what they were used to being taught. Jesus' teaching had authority. Luke chapter 4, verse 32. They were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. The gathering in the synagogue were utterly amazed. They were dumbfounded. They were at a loss from witnessing before their eyes what could be best described as incredible. What the way and manner of Jesus' teaching, the power that flowed through his teaching simply is incredible. That's what this word amazing means here. Explaining the scripture to people, behind that explaining of the scripture was such moral authority, such spiritual presence, spiritual power. The people had never experienced this before. What we learn from this, we learn here, is that the scripture is the word of God, given to us for our instruction in daily life. It's a spiritual reality. This is the word for us in our daily life. We are to live the faith as the word of God. The scripture tells us the content of the faith. Have you ever had the opportunity or the experience to hear an author explain one of their books to you? Maybe you went to a bookstore, to a gathering. The author's going to be here. Hear the author. I mean, the children years ago loved to gather around J.K. Rowling as she read from Harry Potter series. Let's go hear the author read to us. Well, the author, it's an incredible moment. You go to a book and the author's there reading to you. Several years ago at the National Youth Workers Convention, I heard Mike Iaconelli speak. He was co-founder of Youth Specialties. He was dynamic and really an interesting person. And he spoke about his musings that were in his book called Messy Spirituality. For living out the Christian faith, living out the faith in this world really is messy. It's a messy affair. We are far from perfect, and still we are to walk with the Lord in deep, intimate, life-changing way. One of the illustrations Mike Iaconelli gave was about a church that had purchased a $40,000 Persian rug to decorate the parlor, to decorate it just right. Well, on one youth night, red Kool-Aid was spilled on that Persian rug. And boy, the fury hit the fan for that carelessness of wrecking such an expensive, beautiful Persian rug. He goes, why buy such an expensive carpet in the first place? For when you do ministry, especially with children, when you do ministry, things will be spilled. Things will wear out. Things will be broken. Walls will need to be repainted. Carpets will wear out and need to be replaced. So his point of the illustration was making, are you putting together, Mike was saying, are you putting together a museum? A mortuary? Or are you doing ministry? The way Mike spoke about his book, Messy Spirituality, at the first opportunity I had, I bought a copy. Probably time to pull it off my shelf again and read through it. I've heard other authors speak about their books. I picked them up from the copy, from the library. Author speaks about book pick. I mean, like Eric Metaxas, Atheism is Dead. I got it from the library. And then if I enjoy the book enough, I go buy my own copy. Because I like to get colored pencils out and write all through my books. Because I argue. It's a way to remember what's written in the book. You underline it. You put your notes in the column. Colored pencils. This is important. This is not important. What is he trying to say here? I disagree with that. I mean, you have a conversation with the author through the colored pencils. Now just imagine, in this synagogue, in Capernaum, the author of Scripture is sitting there in the midst of the people explaining the meaning of the Scripture. That's what's taking place there in Capernaum. Each time Jesus taught in the synagogue, that is what's taking place. The author of the Scriptures is explaining the Scriptures to the people. For he, this author, Jesus the Christ, Son of God, the words written through the prophets, he had the prophets write. This really shows us the Scripture is the Word of God. It clearly shows us holy is this Word. So holy, God Himself, the Son of God, is teaching from the Scriptures. Teaching with authority that the author of the Scriptures has. And so this is incredibly amazing. The people were incredibly amazed. Let that sink deeply into you. What was Jesus teaching there in the synagogue? The Scriptures. As the Son of God, he was teaching from the Scriptures. The Scriptures must be holy. They must be true. They must be words of life for us. Place yourself in that synagogue. And place yourself under the teaching of Jesus there. Under the authority pulsating out of Jesus as his words instruct about the faith. As Jesus spoke, the word penetrated into a man such that the demon in the man could not continue to hide in silence. The demon was forced to show itself and shrieked from the man. The demon exclaims the Jewish idiom, "What to us and to you?" Meaning, what business do you have interfering with us? Why are you meddling in our affairs? Just leave us be in this man. The pulsating power of Jesus' teaching, the demon could not resist. For in the very presence of God, evil cannot be. And the evil was unmasked. Jesus' mere presence, compounded with the authority of the Word. The demon was unmasked, and Jesus muzzles the demon like a bad dog barking is muzzled, and the demon is sent out. Get out of him! The demon throws the man down as it leaves. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 36. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. There was authority pulsating from Jesus' teaching. Now, the visible demonstration of that authority as the demon-possessed man is set free. Healing, freeing words. Jesus and the disciples leave the synagogue. They head over to Simon Peter's home. It's just around the corner, down the block, not far. I mean, let's go to Simon Peter's house. You know, archaeology uncovered evidence that substantiates a place is very likely the house of Peter in Capernaum. In Capernaum, Peter's home, Jesus called that his home. Peter's home in Capernaum became Jesus' home and was the central point of ministry of Jesus coming and going whenever he was in Capernaum. It was Peter's home he stayed. And Jesus' ministry years radiated out from that house of Peter. An octagonal Byzantine martyrium church in Capernaum was built above a simple first century home. Though this first century home was a little larger than usual, the house was the simple construction with rough walls and a roof of earth and straw. What gives these clues to being Peter's home is how the house's usage dramatically changed in the first century. The main room, plastered over from floor to ceiling, very rare. Also the pottery. It changed from the common household pottery to large storage jars and oil lamps. These indicate the usage of the place changed from being a personal home to a place of gathering for the community. Other evidence indicates that the dwelling went through further transformation into a simple church. First century graffiti in Greek, in Syriac, and in Hebrew is found there. And the graffiti says, "Lord Jesus Christ, help thy servant." And other graffiti says, "Christ, have mercy." And scratched on the walls with those are scratches of crosses and even a boat. The 5th century building of the Byzantine Octagonal Martyrium Church was built over this, showing this place had been of special significance for hundreds and hundreds of years. Peter's home, after being in the synagogue in Capernaum, down street, around the corner, so to speak, Jesus and the disciples go to Peter's house. Luke chapter 4, starting at verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began waiting on them. Jesus heals and frees Peter's mother-in-law from her fever. She rises and serves a simple meal, because that was all that was permitted on the Sabbath. Just enough work to feed you. After the meal, as the sun was setting, meaning it's the close of the Sabbath. Sun going down, the Sabbath has now come to a close. The people began to come to Simon Peter's house to see Jesus, healing all kinds of sicknesses, casting out more demons. This went on all through the night. Nary a moment to be alone, let alone get some sleep. So at daybreak, as a new day begins, that's the meaning of the Greek, a new day begins. Jesus sneaks out of the house to be alone. Sneaks out to be alone to a place where much needed quiet could be found for himself. And you know, throughout Scripture, a quiet place is where the Lord God often shows up with his presence and his provision for those seeking him. As the commotion of busyness is set aside, getting rid of all those things keeping you busy, all that set aside for a solitary place, the presence and provision of the Lord becomes more apparent. It becomes much more real. Hiking years ago with my cousin in the Grand Tetons, as I've shared with you in the past, we took a wrong turn and ended up at Surprise Lake instead of the trail to head to the summit of the Grand Teton. The solitude of the place, the beauty of the place, 10,000 plus feet above sea level. It was only my cousin and I there. No one else. The beauty, the solitude. I can understand the desire to get to a solitary place. And that's one of the reasons I love being up in the mountains. And you hear in Scripture many times, the solitary place was up in a mountain. The crowds, they were seeking for Jesus. Finally, they find him and their desires to grab hold of Jesus and keep him there in Capernaum. Keep him there to continue doing what he was doing, healing and freeing the people. Stay here, Jesus. Stay with us. Jesus could have stayed there, but he didn't. And Jesus gave them the reason why he couldn't stay. Why? Luke chapter 4, verse 43. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. That is why I was sent, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. There's three words from the Greek here to emphasize in verse 43 of Luke chapter 4. Euangelizo. These are the root words, euangelizo, dei, and apostello. Euangelizo, it literally means gospelizing. Euangelizo means good heralding. Heralding the good news. It literally means gospelizing. Heralding the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of the kingdom of God. Good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're the same. Even though the phrase is slightly different, it means the same. The good news of forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Jesus the Christ. Euangelizo. Must preach the good news. Euangelizo. Gospelize. Day. It means absolutely necessary. He must. He can do no other. Day. Euangelizo. Day. Apostello. That's the root word. Apostello. It's an intensification of sent, such that the focus connects the sender to the one sent and the mission to be done. The sender sends the one to fulfill the mission. As a sent one, Jesus must do what he was sent to do. Herald the good news. From apostello, we get the word apostle. Apostle means sent one. You were sent, and you to fulfill the mission you were sent on. The apostles were sent to preach the good news to all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all those things. Matthew chapter 28 tells us that. So here we have Jesus says, I must share this good news. I must, because he was sent to do so. It is very good. And well done, all the healing Jesus has been doing in Peter's home in Capernaum. But there are many other towns, many more synagogues for Jesus to teach in, many more places and people needing healing, freeing words. It is absolutely necessary that the good news be proclaimed. For this is why Jesus was sent. His mission of redeeming is first and foremost. The healings and the casting out of demons are fantastic gifts from the Lord God. Yet even more fantastic is his mission of redeeming by laying down his own life for us. All those healings and casting out of demons and all their goodness still do not bring eternal life. Only Jesus completing his mission of redeeming with his own precious blood on the cross, only that would bring eternal life. Remember Lazarus? He did die a second time after being called back to life from the tomb after dying the first time. Healings are amazing. Set free from demons are amazing. Even more wonderful is eternal life in Christ. So the word must get out to as many as possible. People must hear the good news of forgiveness, compassion, and mercy for the sinner the Father has. The preaching must go on. The eternal message of accountability before a holy God must be proclaimed, and the redeeming grace in Jesus must be offered to all. The healings will go on. The casting out of demons too will continue, for they are foreshadowing of the great things to come. News was spreading. Jesus was traveling from place to place, and the people came and the crowds grew, as they did at Peter's home. The people brought to Jesus wherever he traveled, all who had various sickness, along with the demon possessed. Jesus would heal them, for the people would find refuge in Jesus. As Psalm 71, verses 1 and 2 say, "In you, O Lord, I have taken my refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me." Jesus turned his ear to the earnest pleas for help. Whether Syrophoenician woman running after him, "Lord, have mercy." Or Jairus coming to him, "Lord, have mercy." All the others saying, Jesus turns his ear to them. And he hears their earnest pleas for help. With healing, freeing words, Jesus responds. Jesus delivers. The people came to know and experience in Jesus' compassion. They came to know Jesus would bring refuge, rescue, and deliverance from sickness and demons with healing, freeing words, glimpses of grace. Glimpses of grace that would be ours in the healing, redeeming grace that frees us from the brokenness of sin and brings us into the life that is in Christ. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name are the most healing, freeing words that can be spoken to you. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Healing, freeing words spoken to you. So I bring to a close with more words from Psalm 71. But as for me, I'm starting at verse 14. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Declare the gospel's saving power to the next generation. For the news, the problems that we're facing in this generation is the generation has forgotten the power of Jesus Christ. So you declare the gospel's saving grace to this generation and the next generation. Share the hope. Share the joy of Jesus. Live out the forgiveness of sins you have in Jesus' name. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. They're the most healing, freeing words that can ever be spoken to you. There is your victory. There is your victory. It is in Jesus' redeeming grace for you and the life you have in His name. Amen and amen.